poison soil, and then we'll talk about killer compost, and we'll address that a little bit. What is poison soil?
Poison soil is basically any type of soil that is something that you don't want to grow in. I mean, you could probably grow pretty flowers in it, but anything you don't want to grow vegetables in.
Well, that's the thing. Poison soil, most of the time, it is because it's man created, the poison soil. So there's some things that we need to be aware of. What are some different types of poison soil so we can kind of get on the same page?
Sure. So there's a lot of different contaminants that poison.
Well, I guess that would be a better term, contaminated soil versus poison soil, both under the same umbrella. One seems more harsh than the other, but they're both bad.
Right. So common contaminants, and this is typically found in urban soils or soils that were in an urban area, something like that. So that would include pesticides, petroleum products, radon, asbestos, lead, and then chromated copper, arsenic, and then creosote. And then a lot of this is caused by human activities, whether that be like industrial dumping, land development.
Or, you know, let's call it what it is, agricultural use. The pesticides are used very heavily on agricultural fields.
Right. So this is like more of the urban.
Okay.
Even like heavy car and truck traffic, or if there was, say, like a gas station where you lived at one point.
Old industrial factory.
Yeah, or something like that. So, I mean, even here in Milwaukee, like, there's areas that are being taken over by some different urban housing that used to be old industrial factories. Right. So if you think about that, there could be contaminants in that soil.
Well, we need a soil test, number one. If we have, if you're growing in a new area, you've moved in or you've bought a plot or whatever the case is, you first want to get a soil test for a couple of different reasons. One, to see where you're at on the levels, your pH levels, your nutrient value of the soil, and if there's any contaminants or poisons in the soil. Then, you know, if you had the poisons or the contaminated soil, there are some ways of remitigating it, but the best and easiest answer to that situation is extraction and bring in new material. There are ways of baking this out. They do this in some places where they're cleaning an area out and they basically put it through a big heater or an oven and they bake some of the toxins out and make the soil cleaner than what it ever was before man got here.
Right. And that is an option, I guess. Because if you are just trying to grow in your backyard, you can't necessarily bake the soil.
Right. So let's go with that avenue. We've got the soil tested. We find out there's some contaminants in the soil, variety of fill in the blank. What are our options?
Well, you can just basically take some sort of like a rubber matting and put that over your soil.
Like capping it,
yep. And then making raised beds or straw bales or containers.
Not growing in the ground. Now, what we find in a lot of older cities is lead in the soil from a variety of sources. So if we find and that we know that we have lead in the soil, that doesn't mean necessarily growing is a no-no. There are some plants you can grow in lead soil that won't uptake the lead into the actual edible portion of the plant. There's some that you don't want to plant.
Right. So anything that you're going to eat the roots, so potatoes, beets, carrots, radishes.
If you're eating the root and it's touching the soil, no.
Now, another thing to keep in mind is
But other things like tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, totally fine because it's not uptaking that lead item in incorporating it in the fruit.
However, okay. You want to make sure that even if you grow in that soil, then like tomatoes, say, you want to make sure you do clean them.
Well, you mean like wash them off, scrub them.
Right.
Whatever splash up they may occur, the residue laying on the skin up. Right.
Right.
We've heard, or some people have heard, that you can use roly-polies. They'll eat the lead out of the soil. That's not necessarily the case.
If you don't know what a roly-poly is, it's...
That's a country term. That's a country term.
Some people call it a pill bug or a potato bug. It's those little tiny... They almost look like miniature, tiny, super tiny armadillos.
Uh-huh.
And then if you get near them, they roll into a little ball. That's their defense mechanism. So roly-polies, yes, they can eat some of the lead. There's many different decomposers that can, but that is one. And, or they are one. And then the problem is they're not... Like, if your plan, you're like, oh, I have lead in my soil, I'm just going to get a bunch of these bugs and put in my soil. Like, that's not going to take care of it.
Now, the interesting thing about lead toxicity in soil, it won't transfer. It doesn't work through the soil. Like, if you've got the backyard's grass and there's a high level of lead and you put a raised bed and that soil's touching where that lead is at, it doesn't work itself through the good soil that you've brought in. It's very interesting. But what people will recommend doing is putting that cap or that mat down or a very thick tarp or canvas just to keep that separation. And it is best, to just start fresh, raise bed, containers, grow bags, that type of thing, to avoid the whole problem. Now, other things that people have issue, one more thing here is the soil has what is called a buffering capacity. What is that?
Sure. So this is for, like, say that maybe you have good soil, but you live in the city and you're concerned about whether it be rainwater, like acid rain, or some sort of fluoride or chlorine.
Potentially a runoff of some sort.
So soil does have some buffering capacity.
Or a resistance to absorb that bad thing.
Right.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that, like, if you have a lot of runoff, that it's going to be okay. But if you're watering through city water that is chlorinated, it's not going to affect your plants.
Well, we've found studies as well as that chlorinated water doesn't necessarily hurt the soil. However, there can be other items in that water that can be harmful to the soil, but that soil has that resistance built into it. So it's best to bring in compost. And that leads us to the second part of this discussion, which is killer compost. Now, we can discuss killer compost, but we was fortunate enough to meet in person and interview Joe Lampo. He is host of PBS's Growing a Greener World. I think they're on their 10th or 11th season now. Check your local listings for availability in your area. Also, the Create Channel. And we talk about, he and I talked about killer compost that he had in his garden. And he'll explain that about all of what's going on.
Because a lot of people have, I've seen this over the last year, they've dealt with poison compost. And you had this problem, and people don't know it exists. If you can just briefly tell the story to inform people of what to need to look for so they don't, like, ruin their garden as you did.
Well, first of all, it typically shows up from horse manure. So if you are using hay in your garden that has been consumed by horses, and, of course, it breaks down in the compost pile, which is what happened to me. You know, we have horses. They eat the hay that comes from the farmer that sprays his fields with an herbicide. It's a persistent herbicide. The farmers like it because they only have to spray it one time. It kills all the broadleaf weeds, but it doesn't harm the grass, which becomes the hay. So they'll harvest clean hay. We feed it to our horses. It doesn't break down, so it's safe for the animals to consume, which is why farmers like to use it. But the problem is, because it doesn't break down, the herbicide is still effective as an herbicide, even in the composting situation.
Through the animal and all the way through.
Months and months later, when it's broken down, it's beautiful black gold compost, that herbicide is still there at full strength. But you can't tell that. So you think you're supplementing your garden with organic manure, right? And you mix it in, which is what I did. And it's ironic because I warned people not to do this, and I still did it myself because it looked so good, and I talked myself into using it. And I did, and it didn't take a week. Once those new seedlings, those roots spread out and came in contact with the compost that was tainted, the plants just started wilting. And I knew right away, it's an instant, once you know what to look for, it was instant.
Almost kind of looked like the plant wasn't getting water that it was needing. It just kind of wilted to nothing.
Shriveled, wilted, stunted growth, disfigured. There was a lot of symptoms to it, but you instantly know. And then the problem with it is, you only have two choices. You can wait it out, which can take literally 3 or 4 years, as it did even with me, proactively. Or you can dig it out and replace it. I had 30 cubic yards of soil. That's at least three large dump trucks loads of soil. I didn't have the time or the money to change it out and buy it. So I waited it out, but I also proactively tried to do all that I could do as a human, which there's not much you can do. These are synthetic compounds that are designed not to break down. But if you expose them to UV light, air and water and heat, that means just turning your soil extra and exposing it.
Nature will kind of revert it back to natural.
It will accelerate the decomposition or the deactivation of the herbicides. So I knocked a year off of it.
Now, you can find this on growinggreenworld.com. What is the title of the show? Do you recall what the name of that is? Poison compost or...
Well, the topic, if you just went onto the website and typed in killer compost, okay, that'll get there.
And I would encourage everybody to watch that, because I know several people over the last year has dealt with this and didn't know what it was until after the fact.
Yeah.
So know where your source is coming from. Know what it was. It's basically know the whole cycle.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, if you really want to play it safe, just avoid using horse manure or ask your farmer, if you can get to the source of where it was harvested, ask them if they use that herbicide. It's got different trade names, but the active ingredient, there's a number of them, and the one down in Georgia is picloram that is the problem. But the other thing you can do is a bioassay test. So if you have a big pile of manure and you're curious as to know whether or not it's tainted, you can take some of that manure and mix it in with clean soil into a pot. And then on another pot, get what you know is clean soil, like if you went to a garden center and bought sterile soil. So you have two pots, one with sterile soil and one with half sterile soil and half of that compost. Mix it up. Put tomato seeds or bean seeds in the 50-50 pot and the same with a clean pot. And then just give it 4 weeks. See what happens. Observe. If they're both clean, they'll both look good and healthy. But if the tainted one is truly tainted, you'll know it because you'll see it in the seedlings. And if that's the case, you know, stay away from that that manure and run. Don't walk and get away from it.
So killer compost, great explanation of Joe Lample there, host of PBS's Growing Greener World, explained to us. And so that's what you need to know about poison soil or toxic soil and killer compost.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.